I'm Ben, and I just became a gay uncle.
I'm Tommy, and I've been Ben's gay uncle for 30 years.
Are you ready for a double dose of gay uncle magic? Buckle up.
Ask your gay uncle, 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 ask him all the questions that you have in your brain. Ask your gay uncle, you know that your uncle will do his very best to explain.
He'll do his very best to explain.
Hey, Nibblings, episode 32.
We have a special guest on with us now. It's our friendly neighborhood producer, Jackie.
Yay. Hi. So great to be here.
I feel like you're famous, Jackie.
I feel famous.
It's so good to have you on the pod and live, too.
I know. This is a first. It's great to see your faces. Normally, I hear your voices.
Jackie's wearing pink, everyone.
I'm wearing a pink shirt with a cat who's attached to a heart-shaped balloon. I think that's important.
Very appropriate.
She has a new cat. What's your cat's name?
Her name is Nutmeg. She can do tricks. She can sit, lie down, high five, fist bump. She's great. She's very talented.
Wait, how do you teach a cat to do tricks?
Doesn't the
phrase go, it's like training cats?
It is a common misconception that cats can't learn tricks. It's a little bit harder, but it's definitely still a thing.
Wow.
Okay, we're going to post a video on our Instagram and Twitter of Jackie's cat doing some tricks.
Great. Please do. You can tag her Instagram. She's she's TikTok famous, but she's not Instagram famous.
Your cat is TikTok famous, Jackie?
I wrote a song
Stop
about her.
It. Stop it.
It has 90,000 views. Not a lot on TikTok, but
what?
Like something.
It has 90,000 views?
Yeah.
Wait, the song you wrote about your cat on TikTok has more yes. views than our entire podcast. Is that what you're saying?
If you look at it that way, I should have plugged the podcast in there.
I feel very humbled suddenly. Okay, so Jackie, you're on for a very specific reason. Am I right?
I am here to, first of all, thank everybody who took our survey. Thank you so much. The results are in, and everyone has given us incredibly valuable feedback about Ask Your Gay Uncle.
Mm-hmm. So, Jackie, when we launched the survey, we said that one lucky survey taker will be randomly chosen to join me and Tommy on the pod. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it?
OMG, I'm so excited.
We are going to select them today, but first, I just want to tell y'all a little bit about the survey results.
Ugh, fine.
Cliffhanger. Okay,
I know,
go.
I know. I'm keeping you waiting. I'm edging you. It's going to happen.
Okay, tell us.
Just a reminder, this survey was totally anonymous. No answers are attached to any person. But we've got a few interesting things going on here. So first up, the favorite segment, by a good lead, is listener questions, which is pretty great. And I want to remind everyone that you should be sending in those questions. Give us a call or shoot us an email with your questions, because it's obvious that everyone loves hearing the answers to the questions.
Okay, but what I really want to know is whose answers do they like more, mine or Tommy's?
I mean, obviously I'm the favorite gunkle. I think that's pretty clear.
Well, you have more voice crushes than either Ben or I.
That makes me so happy. I've always been so like voice self-conscious, you know, hearing your voice on things. So every time I'm listening to the podcast, I'm like, ah, there's my voice. So
no,
to know that
yeah,
people
Jackie,
like
your
it
voice is so sexy and grounded and like and just like comfortable.
Stop.
Yeah.
Aw, thanks guys.
I would date your voice.
I'm so touched. My voice would date your voice too.
Oh my God, our voices are gonna go out on a date. What should we do? Karaoke?
Okay. Next up. Favorite game. This one I wanted to share because I agree. Favorite game. This one, even by an even bigger lead, by far the favorite game was Generation Gap.
Oh.
Over the Rainbow had a couple mixed reviews. I also really like that one.
Uh-oh. A couple mixed reviews.
Okay, loud and clear. Generation Gap stays. The other ones cut.
Okay, and then I wanted to share a little bit of criticism with you, you know, because we've got some healthy, constructive criticism.
Wait, let me put on my big boy pants. Hold on.
Yeah, zip them up. Get ready.
Okay, ready.
Ben, this one's for you.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Less of Ben saying fuck.
Oh, fuck that.
And then another one that I thoroughly enjoyed reading was, no more song games for 10 minutes. It was cute for 5 songs, not for 20.
Yeah, we got a little carried away with that Christmas caroling thing. Sorry about that, everybody.
That's fair, as people say.
Yeah. And then one of my favorites was, this is long, bear with me.
Okay.
Thank you for the way you brighten my day. I love witnessing your relationship. I feel like you're family already. I love the laughs, the sharing, the vulnerability, the honesty. Keep up the great work, and thank you for sharing your light with the world.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a really nice one.
Oh, I love that. I have to say, working on this podcast is a lot of work, and it can be very frustrating at times.
Wait, what, Ben? What do you mean? What's frustrating?
Not you. You're a gem. You're a dream.
Nothing about eating chocolate on the podcast, or
no. It can be a lot of work, but when you hear something like that, it like honestly does make it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. The feedback, you know, both positive and negative, it's all really helpful for us.
Well, and, you know, another way of giving us feedback is by sending us questions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a listener-driven show, everybody. And so the more you give, the more you are driving the car.
Speaking of being a listener-driven show, we don't do commercials and we are supported by listener donations. And that goes to help compensate Tommy, me, and our friendly neighborhood producer, Jackie, for all of our hard work. So go to askyourgayuncle.com and click donate.
Is it time?
Yes.
It is time.
I have randomly selected somebody who submitted their email addresses for our survey responses. And the winner is Alice from Virginia.
Alice from Virginia!
Alice!
So it just so happens, I can give her a call now and have you tell her directly.
Really?
Yeah,
wait,
I mean,
you already did this work. You figured this out.
I'm in the background
Holy
doing...
Holy crap, Jackie.
So you have her phone number and you're going to call her now.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. If y'all are ready.
Wait, I'm so excited right now.
I am too. I'm dancing back and forth and Ben is like doing a cringy face.
I feel like Kristen Wiig in that SNL skit where she like can't keep a secret and she like uses her hands and she's like, what? You're getting married and no one can know? Oh my God.
Okay, here we go. Let's hope she picks up.
Okay. Can you put it on speakerphone next to the mic? Okay, cool.
Wait, how are we doing this?
Hello?
Alice from Virginia. It's Ben and Tommy and Jackie with Ask Your Gay Uncle.
Hi.
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 We're calling to let you know that you are the winner of our survey contest and you get to come and join us on the pod.
Oh my goodness, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We are so excited to have you.
So Alice, how long have you been listening to Ask Your Gay Uncle?
Since episode one.
Seriously?
Yeah,
since the beginning. Nice. Best answer ever. Even if you lied, I don't care. I love you, Alice.
So Alice, I have to say your voice sounds kind of familiar. Were you one of the people that sent us a coming out story?
I was, yeah.
Wow, Ben.
Oh my God.
Ben, your ear is so damn good.
That's awesome, Alice.
Wow.
If you want to hear Alice's voice, go back to our coming out episode and see if you can pick out her story, listeners. So, Alice, we won't take up too much of your time, but we'll be in touch in order to select a recording date, and we can't wait to have you on the pod.
Yeah, Alice.
Yay, I'm so excited. Thank you.
Alice, what game would you want to play? Would you want to play Generation Gap or Over the Rainbow or Workshop Greenlight Blacklist?
I love all of your games so much, but I think my favorite is Workshop Greenlight Blacklist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fist pumping. I'm totally fist pumping.
All right, Alice, we'll be in touch. We can't wait to play Workshop Greenlight Blacklist with you on Ask Your Gay Uncle, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds great.
Thanks, Alice.
Thanks, Alice.
Bye.
Congratulations.
Bye. Jackie, you are so amazing that you pulled that off, that you got her number and she was there.
I'm floored. Yeah. And the fact that she was one of the people that sent in a coming out story. Ugh.
I know, I love it.
This is like so serendipitous.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks for having me.
Listener questions, listener questions. Ask us your questions. I'm Billie Eilish.
This first listener question is from Sarah. Sarah says, "Hey Gunkles, I'm a young feminist woman dating an equally liberal man. We're on the same page about the big things, which is really important to me. We've been dating for 2 years, and I've gotten to know his mom's side of the family super well over Zoom. They're so warm and friendly, but his dad and stepmom are Trumpers. To the point where his stepmom unfriended me on Facebook, presumably because of Biden-Harris posts that I made. I'm so nervous to meet them. My boyfriend assured me that he's on my side and will walk out if we need to, but honestly, I've always been a parents' pleaser and obviously would like my potential future in-laws to like me. Any advice for when I do meet them? P.S. I'm Jewish and they are very into Jesus. Another scary thing." That question is from Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. You got a lot going on there, girl. So I've got a bunch of pieces of advice. My first one is just breathe and breathe and breathe again. Just really, instead of like focusing on trying to change them or trying to fit in or do whatever, just breathe. That's sort of a quick general thing for anybody when in a difficult situation. I would say when you meet them or if you are Zooming with them, give them lots of compliments. Not fake ones, but real ones. You know, when you see them, like talk about their house, how nice it is, or the yard, or the food, or anything. But it's got to be real, totally real. And look for something that you value in them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's something. Maybe it's the way they take care of their pet. Maybe it's, you know, how delightful their son is who the dad raised. Maybe they've got collections. Or
collections, like a glass menagerie.
A glass menagerie, yeah. Well, Ben, do you have collections?
I used to. When I was in high school, I would collect chess boards because I was a total nerd. I still have
chess
them, actually.
Chess boards? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, we were living abroad, and every time I would go to a new country, I would buy a chess board like from that country as like an emblem of its culture. So I have chess boards from like 9 different countries. This is way off topic.
But I think it's really interesting. So that, see,
so
there's something that's interesting. No, Sarah, totally. Like, you could jump on that magic carpet ride and ride it for a while with them. Yeah, so you got to look for something that you value in them.
That isn't politics, basically.
Yeah,
is what
right.
you're saying. Find something to talk about that isn't that.
My guess is, based off of this woman's reaction, the stepmother-in-law, that she blocked you, I would just be ready for conflict.
Hmm.
And so if the shit does hit the fan, here are some things you can say. I love your son, and I want to be a part of his life, which means I would like to be a part of your life. And so I'm wondering, would you be willing to put aside our philosophical differences so that we can enjoy each other's company and be with the person who we love, which is your son and my boyfriend?
Oh, that's so lovely, Tommy. I really like that.
Oh, thanks. This is all nonviolent communication, Sarah. So I'm just going to keep on going down this NVC rabbit hole.
Uh-huh.
So if that doesn't feel right to you, you can say to them, and I actually did this with my ex after we broke up. This is Steve. It wasn't the easiest of breakups, and he was angry at me and hurt. And I said to him, Steve, I'm happy to hear whatever you have to say to me, and I will not respond to any of it. I just want to hear what you have to say. And it changed our relationship. So you could say that to them and just go, hey, future in-laws, who are the Trumpers and who I'm totally scared of? Don't say that part. You can say, I am so happy to hear what you have to say about X, Y, and Z. And I'm interested in having a conversation. Isn't this an amazing opportunity that we get to have a civil discussion? And we can actually hear what the other person believes without challenging them or thinking less of them. I'm truly interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, that really is the ticket. I have a really good friend who is much more conservative than me and voted for Trump. And we actually love talking about politics. And that's always how I approach it. I'm never trying to shut him down. I'm never trying to demonize him.
Or change.
Exactly. He's never trying to change me.
But only say this shit if you really do believe that. Right?
Like, and
Sarah,
if you don't believe that.
Yeah, if you don't believe that, if you are trying to change him, or if you're like, oh my God, I hate this woman, you know, and you blocked me, and I just want your son, and why are we here? You know, if that's going on in the back of your head, she's going to pick up on it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a two-way street. Having a jovial, positive political conversation with someone who's way across the road from you, that's a two-way street, and it won't work if you're being super open and interested and they're being really aggressive. Like, you'll pick up on that. Just end it if that's where it goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially the first time you're meeting them, don't talk about politics. Like, save that for down the road after COVID, when you visit the family's place for the weekend and you feel really comfortable and you've already tried her cookies and you've already given his dad a hug, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, one thing you can do to make yourself feel more comfortable with the situation is to put time parameters on it, which is like a great thing to do on a first date when you're going to meet someone and you don't know what the vibe is going to be, if you're going to click, how the chemistry is going to be like, hey, great, I've got 30 minutes for coffee. And then you know it's got to end in 30 minutes. And one way you can do this with his parents is to like make it a Zoom. Put those parameters on it. Be like, hey, do they have time for a 10-minute Zoom call?
Yeah, I like that idea.
Start simple and small. Do not commit to a full weekend at his parents' place.
Right.
Like, that's right. What you don't want to do.
I remember reading this book. I can't remember who it was by. I don't even remember the title. I think it's like called Shakti Gawain. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I pulled that out.
What a name.
One of the things that she said, which has always stuck with me, is there are 273 ways to wash your dishes. Studies have been done. And she said, imagine how many ways there are to believe in God, or to love someone, or to have sex, or to have a conversation, or to clean your bathroom. Right. And so, I just bring that up because she is believing in something that you are not believing in. And I think there's something so amazing to be able to come to a place of acceptance around that.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I've got a few more, Sarah. I love your question. So I'm going
on. Keep going, Tommy. You're on a roll. Keep going.
Yeah. So, nonviolent communication, it's all about having emotional intelligence. And so one of the things that they always ask is, what need are you not getting? So what need are you scared of not getting from?
Like not getting met? What needs
not getting met. What needs are not getting met? My guess is it might be respect or connection or communication. You know, these are all needs that you want, like a need of tenderness or a need to be listened to or a need to be allowed to be different or a need for your opinion to be accepted. And so find out what those needs are. And you can really do the NVC, the nonviolent communication language, and say, are you willing to? And that is very key in nonviolent communication.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to have a conversation with me around these subjects that could be difficult for us without us getting upset? You know, if that's a desire of yours, maybe you don't even want to go there. You know, maybe it's just, are you willing to let me into your house and to respect me as a human being, even though I believe in different things than you?
Mm-hmm. Are you willing to is such a great way to start
a
tricky conversation. Yeah. Even just like, are you willing to discuss this?
Yeah. Check out nonviolent communication. We'll have a link on our website about it.
So helpful.
Here, I'm going to the end of your question, which is, I've always been a parent pleaser.
Parent pleaser, parent pleaser.
Right?
I like that phrase.
A parent pleaser?
Well, I don't like the notion of being a parent pleaser, but I like the phrase. Thanks for coining it, Sarah.
Just the alliteration?
Yeah, I love alliteration.
So here's my question for you, Sarah. Who would you be if you didn't please them? What would that say about you?
Mm.
If they didn't like you or if you failed?
At pleasing them.
Yeah. What would that say about you? And to me, that's really what you get to deal with.
Yeah. Are you okay being the kind of person whose boyfriend's parents don't like you?
Yeah.
And you can apply that to anything. Are you okay being the kind of person whose coworker doesn't like you?
Right. The way to do this is to ask that question of who would you be? Would you be a failure? Would you be stupid? Would you be strong? Would you be a loser? Would you be, mean? What does it say about you? Or would you be okay?
Yeah.
So maybe try on this costume for a little bit, which is, hey, my in-laws don't like me. And that's okay. They're allowed not to like me or like that part of me.
Hmm. I once saw a billboard, actually, that has always stuck with me. It said, why do you care whether everybody likes you? You don't even like everybody. Tommy, you did an amazing job answering all this. I feel like you covered all the bases. I'm just going to add two little things. Number one, model the behavior you hope to see.
Mm.
And just because you model it doesn't mean it's going to be reflected at you, but it's a great place to start from.
Well, and then you get to walk away with your integrity.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Like, oh my God, she was a crazy bitch, and I was so calm and
cool.
But
I did my best, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And number two, relate to them as a human.
Mm.
Just be a human in front of another human talking as humans.
Yeah, I like that.
Sarah, you sound like a really perceptive person and really caring, judging by the way you wrote this question. And if I had to guess, you could find a shared humanity with anybody.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Thanks for writing in, Sarah.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood producer, Jackie. We hope you're enjoying Ask Your Gay Uncle. If you'd like to ask a question for Tommy and Ben to answer on the podcast, leave us a message at 512-981-7332. Or you can email ask@askyourgayuncle.com. You can find us on Instagram at @askyourgayuncle or Twitter at @AYGUpodcast. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Ben and Tommy. I hope you're both well. Thanks for taking my question today. My question is, where do I draw the line between advocating for my own sexual needs versus respecting my partner's sexual boundaries, especially in this case when my partner is a straight white man? I really experience pleasure when somebody goes down on me, and more than that, it's something that makes me feel empowered as a woman in the bedroom because it's something being done for me. I'm really receiving something wonderful for me. But at the same time, if my partner says that's something they don't like doing, I feel like I should respect when my partner says that there's something they don't want to do in the bedroom. In another sense, I feel frustration because as a woman of color, I feel like I've been socialized in the bedroom to become accommodating, to get over things that maybe I didn't like doing at the beginning. For example, with giving head, it was something I didn't enjoy when I very first started having sex, but now it's something I love to give to my partner. And I feel like straight white men aren't often socialized in the same way. But yeah, it's just feels complex of how do I get what I'm looking for, but without insisting upon something that makes somebody else uncomfortable.
What an excellent question.
It
seems pretty clear to me. Anonymous, if your favorite kind of sexual pleasure is when someone goes down on you, that's a pretty important need of yours. So this might be a deal breaker. You have to get your needs met. If he can't meet them and is unwilling to try and is unwilling to even discuss trying, find someone else who can.
So how would you have the discussion? If you were with, you know, whoever you're with and, you know, you're like, hey, I love it when people bite on my big toe and they're like, bleh, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to do it. What kind of conversation would you have with them to get them to do it?
Yeah, it's tricky because trying to convince somebody to do something sexually that they don't want to do is already a dicey situation.
Yeah.
You know, like, what if it was the other way? What if it was the other way, Anonymous? And he was like,
well,
I really
it was
want
for her.
To.
It was for her. She didn't like going down on somebody, and then now she loves it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and she was open to trying, it sounds like. And if this guy is not open to trying, then maybe he's not the right guy for you.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's it. Maybe you need a guy who loves going down on people.
There are a lot of them out there.
You know, because even if he's open to trying it once and he's like, okay, sure, I'll give it a shot. And he like does it for 22 seconds. And then he's like, okay, I'm not going to do it again for another 2 months. Like, that's not good enough for you.
No.
I have to say, I really do not like licking a butthole. I hate it. And I don't like it when it's done to me. And I don't like doing it myself. And it's like a big, hard line for me. And people love that. People really like doing it and like having it done to them. And it's like one of my boundaries. I don't want to do it.
Huh.
And I'm just really clear about that. And I'm not willing to budge.
Yeah.
And if that's a deal breaker for someone, I totally respect that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
Anonymous, you're asking the right duo here, the right gunkles. Because I'm like, I'll do anything. I'll try anything. You know? My question for you is, have you had the conversation about it? Like, literally gotten into the nitty-gritty of, well, what's wrong with going down on me? Do you not like the taste, or is it the look, or what are you scared of? Is it the idea, the smell? Do you have a trauma around, vaginas? And because maybe there is something going on in him that he has not teased apart that is inhibiting him from opening up to it.
He's like, yeah, I was born out of a vagina and it was just really, really traumatic.
Yeah. You know, there's this thing, it's called Tiny Habits, and it's a great book. And the guy who wrote it says the way that you change is by doing tiny little things. Like, he hated flossing his teeth, and so he just decided to floss one tooth. And so he would floss one tooth, and he gave himself a reward. So maybe you just like, hey, you know, if you get your face 2 inches from my vagina, I will give you a reward, whatever it is. I don't know, you know. I mean, it depends on how much you really like this guy and how much you want to be with him.
Yeah. Tommy, I'm going to go back to the answer you gave Sarah from our first question is, are you willing to? That's the way to ask this question. Mm. Are you willing to try? Are you willing to work on it? Are you willing to just give it a little lick?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, and he's super uncomfortable, or he's not even willing to discuss it, there's your deal breaker.
I mean, here's the other thing. You can just say to him, hey, I'd like to go outside the relationship to get satisfied. I'd like to go outside the relationship to get satisfied. You know, that's another way around it. If he's not taking care of you that way, but he is in a lot of other ways, then go find yourself a pussy licker.
Yeah. And there's plenty of cis white guys that love going down on girls.
Yeah.
There are plenty of them.
The thing is that the person who says no in a relationship is the ruler of the relationship.
Tell me more about that.
If you are with someone and you're like, hey, let's go see this. No, I don't want to. Well, what about that? No, I don't want to. The people who set the boundaries are the ones who have the power in a relationship.
Well, they can certainly suck the fun out of things, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you're sucking the fun out of him, and he's not sucking the fun out of you. That's the problem. Chuck-a-boom, chuck-a-boom.
That was good. That was really good.
Oh, thanks. You know, Ben, you also brought up something else about being a cisgendered white male. You know, there's race involved here, and I'm wondering if you have talked to him about that, the imbalance of power. And I don't need to tell you this. You're the one who experiences it all the time. You know, you're a woman. You experience it more than I do. You're a person of color. You experience it way more than I do. And maybe you want to be the dominatrix and just like put on your leather gear and your spiked whatevers and pull out a whip and blindfold him and sit on his face.
Yeah.
Ben, I was wondering how you were going to react to that.
Get your kinky pants on, Anonymous. Well, really, take your kinky pants off, Anonymous, and sit on his face.
Yeah,
don't give him a choice.
No, give him a choice, of course.
Obviously, we're joking about the fact that you would just like sit on his face if you knew it was something that he was uncomfortable with. But I do like your idea, Tommy, about creating a scenario around it that might turn him on. Like, if being dominated turns him on, maybe that's the way to approach this.
Yeah.
Or whatever the other scenario is. Maybe he's got another kink and you're like, okay, so how about we include something that really turns you on in order to access this for you because you're hesitant?
Yeah. And maybe that's poppers, you know? Have you ever done poppers? I don't know, drugs. Or do ecstasy. Oh my gosh. I mean, I've never done ecstasy and here I am like saying, it'll solve all your problems. I've never done ecstasy. Ben, you've done ecstasy, right?
Yes. I don't think advocating for bringing drugs into the bedroom is the way to solve this problem. Like, if you have to do illegal substances in order to want to go down on your partner, you're not in the right relationship.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with Ben. And as I said at the very beginning, I'm like, I'll do anything. So, you know, you're getting both sides of this coin. It's a big coin.
But listeners, if you want to do something crazy, it sounds like Tommy's ready to rumble.
Yeah, I turned 60.
No regrets.
I only got a few years left, damn it. I gotta do it all. Yeah, you know, I after all that I have said, I am leaning towards the side of Ben.
Really?
Which is, and I'm the one who says this, run the other way.
Yeah, I'm not saying run the other way. I'm just saying find out if it's a deal breaker for both of you. Have that conversation, and it doesn't need to be fraught with drama or whatever.
Yeah.
Deal breaker is a deal breaker. It's like, oh, you want me to move to Denver? I'm not going to move to Denver. Cool. We can't be together.
Right.
Oh, you want me to go down on you regularly, and I'm not cool with that? Then that's a deal breaker. There you go.
Yeah.
It's very simple, really.
Well, and the question is it a deal breaker for you, Anonymous? I mean, if it's what gives you pleasure.
Anonymous, you talk about, as a woman of color, being socialized not to advocate for your own sexual needs. This is the time to do it.
Yeah.
It sounds like he has made clear what he's willing and unwilling to do. And this is the time for you to decide whether that's okay with you.
Yeah. This is big, Anonymous. You know, and it's not about him, right? It's about you. This question is about you.
Yeah. And you don't just need a guy who's willing to go down on you.
No, fuck man.
If you press him on it. You need a guy that fucking loves it.
You walk in the room and he's like, lift your skirt, honey. How's my straight white male voice there?
Honey. Straight men do not say honey.
Really? They don't say honey? Babe. No. How about babe?
Yeah, babe. Probably babe.
Babe, lift your skirt. That was it. I'd buy that.
Nailed it. Where did my gay uncle go? What happened to him? Oh my God.
This show is so different. Ask your straight uncle.
Ask your strunkle? Get out. You're fired, Tommy. You're fired. You're too straight for this show.
Sorry. I'm too butch.
Good luck, Anonymous.
Yeah, good luck.
You're the advocate of your own sexual needs. And if someone is unwilling to meet them, that might be a deal breaker.
Sup.
It's Gunkle of the Week.
In 2016, when the U.S. was still celebrating the national legalization of same-sex marriage, Jordan, the country, was busy trying to shut down the Arab world's first LGBTQ online magazine, My Kali. The magazine was founded by Khalid Abdelhadi, who is our Gunkle of the Week.
Woohoo!
So Khalid Abdelhadi launched the magazine when he was 17, and in 8 years...
Wait. He was 17 years old when he started this magazine?
Oh, yeah. He started it with a group of his school friends.
And in Jordan?
In Jordan, in the country Jordan, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is one of the more liberal countries in the Arab world.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yes. I don't know that. Yeah.
So he launched the magazine when he was 17, and in 8 years, it had grown from just a few dozen readers to over 100,000 monthly readers around the world. Yeah. So as a teenager, Khalid was obsessed with magazines and tried interning for local Jordanian publications, but he was rejected for being, quote unquote, too out there. He wanted stories about gender and stories about sexuality. Nobody wanted to do that.
No.
So 17-year-old Khalid and his friends launched My Kali and put him on the cover of the first issue.
Wow.
He posed shirtless with the headline, Alert Miss Attitude. Jordanian media blew up with coverage of the magazine launch.
Wait. Alert Miss Attitude? Miss as in like female Miss.
Miss Congeniality.
Alert Miss Attitude. Oh, that's so great.
Khalid says, quote, at the time, Jordanian parliamentary elections were going on, but the news about the first Arab LGBTQ magazine overshadowed the whole thing. People went crazy, and I thought I was going to be imprisoned or killed. End quote. But all this press only helped Khalid's magazine. It turns out there was a huge demand for stories about LGBTQ Arabs. According to Vice, Abdelhadi's inbox flooded with messages from LGBTQ people across the region. One message particularly resonated with him. It came from a gay man who was contemplating suicide, but found solace in My Kali magazine and the fact that there were more people like him out there. So after My Kali launched, more LGBTQ magazines started popping up in the Arab world. Magazines in Syria, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, Lebanon, inspired by the success of My Kali magazine. Each one was shut down because of political unrest, death threats, or governments blocking their sites and social media pages.
Wow.
But My Kali remained.
Wow.
But then in 2016, My Kali took the risk of launching a bilingual issue, expanding from their previously only English articles to a mix of English and Arabic. This was a big risk, and it caught the attention of Jordan's conservative elites, and the website was blocked. The staff spent several months working with a nonprofit advocacy group called Access Now to get the site back up and running, and it's still running today. So if you look on the My Kali website, they say, My Kali strives to address social problems and empower the youth to defy mainstream gender binaries in the Arab world. My Kali is a new form of activism It is a voice for social justice in oppressive societies. My colleague builds on the understanding that cultural stereotypes stem from countless factors and discourses that are created and reinforced every day.
Mm.
And I have to say, when I first read that, it almost made me cry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Khaled Abdul-Hadi is my gunkle of the week because he's standing up to oppression and he's a creative, artistic activist. And he's bold, and he took a huge risk at 17 and jumped into the deep end. And he says himself that he wasn't really ready for like the ripple effect that it would have, but he has embraced it.
It's a common theme in our gunkles and gaunties of the week.
I mean, Tommy, when we launched Ask Your Gay Uncle, I remember thinking, are we going to get any pushback? Are we going to get haters? Or like, what are people going to say on social media? And we live in America. I live in LA, you know, like we're artists. All of our friends are liberal. Our families are okay with it. I mean, our family is the same family, but you get what I mean. Khaled launched this magazine in Jordan.
Yeah.
Like that was a huge risk.
Yeah.
If you want to check out the magazine, go to mykalimag.com. That's mykalimag.com. You can also find them on Instagram at mykali_magazine. And on Twitter, at mykali_mag. Go give him a follow.
Go ahead and ask your gay uncle.
Well, Jackie, do you want to end us out with the ending credits, but live?
A live version?
From Ask Your Gay Uncle, live! It's New York!
Wow, and now I feel like I've got to outperform myself. All right, here we go. Ready?
Okay.
Ask Your Gay Uncle is created by Tom Truss and Ben Palacios.
That's
with
right.
Production support by me, Jackie Anders.
That's right.
Yay, Jackie.
And my cat, Nutmeg. Just kidding. Album artwork by Seth Shellhouse. Theme song and musical interludes by Ben Palacios and Dan Reuter.
Uh-huh.
Special thanks to Matt Marr and everybody who sent us questions and participated in the survey.
That's right.
And Alice in Virginia for being there.
Absolutely.
Big special thanks to Alice. If you'd like to ask a question for Tommy and Ben to answer on the podcast, leave us a message at 512.
517. Oh, no. Oh, shit.
Damn it, Tommy.
512-981-7332. Or you can email ask@askyourgayuncle.com. And don't forget, you can also find us on Facebook at Ask Your Gay Uncle Podcast. More information at askyourgayuncle.com.
Bye, nibblings.
Bye.